Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to the latest episode of Mastering Risk Management. It's been a little while, and apologies for that. This consulting game is dictated by clients, for those of you that are in the game. You'll know that's the case. For those of you that are not, the customer is king, so I've been very busy with clients. So apologies that I haven't been able to record an episode, but today I thought I'd just give a bit of an update and a bit of a discussion about what's been going on. And actually, I thought I'd take a slightly different angle today and talk a little bit about me and proximity and what we do and what the purpose is of proximity risk and assurance. So bear with me today. You'll hear a little bit about my business and you know, what I'm in business for. So effectively, as you know, risk management consulting is proximity's focus. And I guess for my business, the focus is those customers that are looking for assistance in getting traction with their risk management program. And, you know, that is a challenge for a lot of organisations. The effectiveness of risk management varies fairly dramatically from what I'm seeing in organisations. So who's the customer within the organisation? Well, I guess it can be the CEO, the CRO, the CFO. It can be one of those C-suite members. It could be the chief people officer, for instance, looking for transformation in the way risk is approached in the organisation and the culture of risk management. In some cases, it's the strategy manager or transformation manager, change manager, those people that are looking to actually get real benefit from a risk management program where, you know, they've introduced an ERM program, some things are happening, activities are happening, but the question is still resonating in their mind. What is the value add? What are we getting from our investment in risk management? So you'll see these organisations, you know, to some degree scratching their head to say, you know, we've spent money, we've allocated resources, we're still not sure we're getting the value add. What does that ideal client look like for me? I guess they're tending to be medium to large enterprises, so they're organisations that, you know, will be of the sort of 5,000 plus staff, and they are reasonably well-established businesses, good turnovers, and they can be in a multitude of areas. You know, some of the clients I've worked with so far are in government departments, financial services industry, retail, which is obviously my background. So there's been a bit of a variety of organisations, but surprisingly, they all have similar challenges in the risk management space. So those, I guess, challenges are reasonably consistent and are the reason that I set up proximity. And the main challenge that I try to address is, as I said, that concept of getting traction in risk management. And this is key, that organisations need to genuinely want to engage with risk management. They genuinely want to get something out of this. Now, if it's regulated and they have to do it, so frequently the case in financial firms, banks, superannuation, insurance, you know, it's mandated for, you know, a APRA regulated entity to have these enterprise risk programs. But organisations that genuinely want to get the benefit out of risk management sometimes just need a little help to make sure that it's actually working and effective. And risk management at the end of the day, obviously, is about better decision-making. So leveraging risk management to get better data, better insight, better decision-making generally, because you're coming from a stronger place in terms of information, in terms of analytics, in terms of assessing decisions from both an opportunity and a threat point of view. And that's what risk management's all about, considering the opportunities, what needs to go right, and considering the threats, you know, what could go wrong. And you know, interestingly, in a lot of cases, risk management centres on only one side of that equation, the what could go wrong piece. So risk management, to me, is that decision-making tool that helps the organisation really turbocharge its efforts to achieve its objectives. And that sounds like a broad brief, and yes, it is. So, you know, nobody, I don't think, can tackle every element successfully. So the focus that I have in Proximity is to try and help organisations leverage the most important part of their business, and that's the operational or front line of the business. Now, in the three lines of defence model, that's the first line of defence. So the actual operational units of the business, the front line, the stores in a retail example, the doctors and nurses in a medical example, the teachers in an education example. So the front line troops that actually have the responsibility for delivering on the organisation's strategy. So it's my view, and based not only on my background in retail, but based on what I've seen in organisations subsequent to that corporate career, and obviously in discussions with other peers in the risk space and in the audit space, there is this expectation that the first line just knows automatically what it should be doing in terms of the risk space. And in some areas, that's probably true. So if you take an area of risk like safety of people, there's been a lot of money, time and effort invested in upskilling organisational staff in safety in a lot of cases. Some areas are brilliant at it, like mining, those sort of areas. Others still have some work to do, but you could generally say the area of risk called people safety has had a lot of focus on it and has been pretty effective. And I think if you speak to most people in organisations, they'll understand that they are responsible for their own safety and also responsible for the safety of those around them, customers, contractors, and of course other employees. But when you come to other areas of risk, the responsibilities of the first line are not necessarily that clear, and those people at the front line not always sure what they should be doing in terms of risk management. What is their role as a first line of defence person? And some people might say, well, why is that important? Why does the front line need to worry about risk management? Isn't it just the board's job or senior executive's job to worry about risk, and the front line just needs to get on with serving their customers? Well, I do agree that there is a different focus on risk depending on what level of the organisation you're at. So, for instance, the board and the C-suite probably should be thinking about risk from a strategy and an external point of view. And if you've listened to me before, you'll know I tend to categorise risk into three categories: strategic risk, external risk, and operational risk. So board C-suite focus is generally around that strategic and external risk. And some people sort of say, well, what's the difference? So just briefly, to me, strategic risk are those things where the organisation makes decisions to improve the value of the organisation, to create value. You know, those strategic initiatives that are aimed at growing the organisation or improving the organisation. An external risk, on the other hand, are the risks that organisations can't control. These are things that happen in that external environment that are going to happen regardless, and the organisation has no influence over them. So things like the macro or microeconomic environment, weather hazards, customer behaviours, demands, competitor actions, those sort of things are all external, regulatory actions by governments. So the organisation can't really influence those risks. They need to respond to those risks. So their risk management activity is a little different. So if that's the C-suite and board responsibilities, that's strategic and external. You've then got middle management that is more concerned about implementing strategy and responding to external risks and then thinking about operational risks. And then you've got the frontline troops, or that first line of defence, where lots of the focus is on operational risk and, you know, those safety, product quality, customer service, those sort of things hit the front line. Now, whilst it's nice to be able to just compartmentalise those a little bits in terms of who's responsible for what risk, the important thing to remember, though, is that the first line is the place that is the sensing part of the organisation. So if the environment is changing, if customers are responding differently, if the external environment is giving different clues, if competitors are doing interesting and new things, it's generally first seen at the front line. Those first line of defence people are the ones that see these things. They see competitors changing tact. They see customer trends changing. They get feedback from suppliers and from vendors and those people that they interact with. So they can feed back through and up through the organisation the feedback on what's changing in the environment, so how the environment is shifting and changing for the organisation. Not only that, but the first line is also the place where strategy comes to life. So whilst the board and the C-suite might set the strategy, it's the front line that has to deliver on it. And importantly, the front line are going to be the people that are going to be able to say, hey, you know what, that strategy that you've come up with, it's working well, or it's not going so well, or it needs to be modified in this way or the other. Because one of the things, I guess, that my time in audit taught me was that whilst management might come up with a brilliant idea or a new process or a way of getting something done, by the time that idea filters down to the front line where it's got to be executed, if it hasn't been well thought out, if it hasn't involved the front line and they haven't been consulted with in designing the new process, generally it will bear little resemblance to how things are actually done at the front line. And therefore, it's going to either be difficult to implement, it's going to have little relevance to the challenges that the front line face, or, and what I've seen happen quite frequently, the people at the front line will just modify the new process so that it actually works for them in their reality, their day-to-day role of serving customers, patients, clients, students, whatever their industry is. When they're serving their end consumer or their end client, they will do whatever it takes to make it work. And that's the beauty of frontline staff. They genuinely have the best interests of the business at heart, and they will do whatever it needs to make sure that their client, their end customer, is serviced, regardless of how bad a new process is that management wants to introduce. So there's lessons in this all around, and that is that if you talk to the front line, if you consult with the front line, but most importantly, and this is where my business, Proximity Risk and Assurance, is focused, is educate the front line on what their role is in risk management, you'll find that it actually pays off in spades. You'll be able to get real-time communication and feedback from the front line about what's working and what's not. You'll be able to make sure that your strategies, your ideas, your processes, your improvements, your transformation efforts will get support from the front line when they're involved and they're consulted with. They'll see the why of things and why they're changing. They'll be signed up and on board for the process. So there's real value in making sure that the front line understands what risk is. There's real value in the front line understanding what risk the company's comfortable in taking. So this comes back to that whole risk appetite concept. Some organisations tick a box when it comes to risk appetite. You know, somebody says we should have a risk appetite. Somebody at another firm that I've been at says they've got a risk appetite. We want a risk appetite. But does the risk appetite really articulate the organisation's desire to take on risk? And if so, how's it actually brought to life in the organisation? If a risk appetite is a statement that's written out, signed off by the board, and basically stuck in a drawer somewhere, then there's not much point having one. The risk appetite needs to be brought to life at the front line. And that means translating that high-level board-approved risk appetite statement into the day-to-day operations of the risk so that the business unit can understand as it goes about its business what risks are acceptable to take and indeed the organisation expects them to take and those that are off limits. So, you know, I've heard an analogy once which was, you know, swim between the flags, that if you operate within these parameters, in other words, here's your risk tolerance and your guidelines, then you'll be safe. Somebody will keep an eye out for you, like a lifesaver at the beach. But if you operate outside that acceptable level of tolerance, you're on your own and you could get into trouble, right? And just like at the beach, if you get pulled under by a rip, if you're in business and you're operating outside the organisation's comfort level, then you could get into strife. So it's really important that these conversations about risk are happening with the front line regularly, and you're training the front line on what their responsibilities are about around risk management. Really important stuff, and not that hard to do. It just takes some time and some investment in upskilling these people. Obviously, one of the things, though, that you have to be really careful of when making a decision to talk to the front line, upskill them in risk management, is make sure that you're not bombarding the organisation with risk speak and all these acronyms and all those things that we're all so inclined to adopt. One reason I think there is this risk malaise in some organisations is that risk teams and people talk in risk terms and don't really onboard people or get them on board for the journey by using this terminology. Instead of speaking in the business language and using business metrics and business measures and business terminology, they dart off with all of these risk-based concepts, ideas and terms, and they lose the business and don't get them on board. So speak the business language is probably a good place to start when you're thinking about engaging with the front line. You know, you don't want to waste this opportunity, and organisations don't want to waste their effort. They want to get value for money, and they want to ensure that whatever they do, it brings value for the organisation, gets a return on investment. So you might ask, what's the benefit of making this investment, using someone like myself to help organisations train their first line and get them aware of risk management? What's in it for the organisation? Well, I think a couple of things. One, you get improved visibility of the threats and opportunities facing the business. As I said, that front line is the sensing part of the organisation. It sees things happening in the market. It sees things happening with competitors. It senses where customers are at and what they're thinking in terms of the organisation's product offers. So that visibility of both threats to the organisation and opportunities comes along with educating the front line and getting them on board in the risk management journey. I think the other thing you do is get a higher awareness of emerging risks. It sort of goes hand in hand with that first point, but emerging risks are always there. They're coming out of the blue. We think about things like the use of artificial intelligence, and we think about things like disruptive startups and those sort of things that can come out of the blue. They can come on at a rapid rate of knots, and again, that sensing part of the first line of defence is there to help understand and be encouraged to put their hand up and say, hey, you know, we're seeing something that's not quite right. We're not sure what it is. We're not sure what the long-term impact's going to be. But they're comfortable in being able to put up their hand and feed this information back to management and to the C-suite and to the board to be able to say, you know, something's changing. We're not quite sure what this is. We're not quite sure what the long-term impact is, but something's changing on the horizon. And those sensing inputs are really valuable to an organisation. So that's an important piece as well. The third thing I'd say as the value add is that the organisation has smarter decision making as a result of engaging the front line. So, you know, with the all three levels of the three lines of defence participating in the risk management process, you're starting to amplify the investment in risk management. So it's not just a top-down focus, you're also getting bottom-up input, and that's a much better holistic picture of the actual risks to the organisation, and the opportunities and threats can be far better identified. The whole goal of an organisation is to create value, so that's the upside stuff, and protect value, so protect your assets and you know, deal with threats. So if you're engaging all three levels in the three lines of defence, you get that return, you get that value creation component, you get better opportunity identification, and you get better threat identification and mitigation. So that's an important component and goal of any implementation that I'm involved with. So what does it look like? Well, it depends on the organisation and what their challenge is. But one of the things I'd like to do, or I do like to do in the first instance, is understand the structure of the organisation, how risk is communicated up and down through the organisation, you know, between board, senior management, the risk function, if there is one, and through to operations management. So understanding what that looks like is a good first start. But that can also range through to simply, you know, training programs for the first line of defence. So, you know, I have a one-day training program which helps managers and supervisors at the first line understand how their role contributes to the organisation's risk management efforts. So that's another alternative as well. It's hard to say there's a one-size-fits-all, because there's not. Every solution for every organisation needs to be bespoke and tailored for the particular challenge and needs of that organisation. So what is the investment? Well, the investment is whatever it is. It takes an analysis of what the challenge is and understanding what the organisation's concerns are. But it's all about making sure that the focus is on providing value for money. So when I quote on jobs and talk to organisations about what I do, you know, I want to make sure that it's not a discussion on price and how much it's going to cost, but it's a discussion about how much value they'll get out of this thing. I think at the end of the day, there's got to be a good deal for the business, and it's got to make sure it returns on its investment. I did see a saying, or hear a saying once, that I thought was excellent, and I'll just quote it to you now. It's unwise to pay too much, but it's worse to pay too little. When you pay too much, you use a little money, lose a little money, that's all. When you pay too little, you sometimes lose everything, because the thing you bought was incapable of doing the thing that it was bought to do. The common law of business balance prohibits paying a little and getting a lot. It can't be done. If you deal with the lowest bidder, it is well to add something to the risk you run. And if you do that, you'll have enough to pay for something better. So that's a little quote about value for money, and I think it's a great one as well. So, yeah, listen, we're absolutely about creating value for the organisation and making sure that there is actually a good return on investment on doing this stuff. So, listen, that's a little bit about proximity, who I am and what I do for organisations. I thought that might be useful for you. I'm certainly more than happy to receive any questions or queries or feedback, and you know, you can do that through my email address, anthonyw@proximityriskassurance.com.au. You can visit my website and leave a message, www.proximityriskassurance.com.au. Or my phone number is 0404 829 040. Listen, thanks for all the feedback on guests and people that you'd like to hear from on the program. I certainly have a number of guests lined up for the next little while. Most of you, they are all busy, and just getting into diaries is a bit of a challenge. I have one hopefully lined up in the next couple of weeks, which will be great. And I've got a couple of others also in the wings. So stay tuned. We will get some more guests onto the program. You can hear their views on risk management. But I hope today has been useful for you in understanding a little bit more about my background, what I do, what it is I offer. And, it's given you a little bit of insight in that regard. So once again, thank you for your time. Suggestions always welcome on what you'd like to hear on the podcast, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks again.